finished that last break having a little pre-conversation to the College Football Hall of Fame before we bring in our next guest, who has just got the good news. Well, he may have already had the news. We found out yesterday that he is on the list of 75 players who are on the ballot for the 2014 class of the College Football Hall of Fame. Good morning. Good morning, Bobby. Welcome into Houston and Huber. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing fine. How you doing this morning, Martin?
Oh, I'm doing great. Bobby, it's good to catch up with you, man. We talk to each other on a regular basis during football season. Been kind of crazy since, but how are things going in the Humphrey household?
Yeah, things are going really, really well. We had a good time. I really enjoyed this past football season being on with you guys every week. I thought we had some really good times, some really good moments, a really good year, and kind of happy all the things that we were going through back then is kind of behind us, and got a son that's going to be attending school there in Tuscaloosa, so you know, the Humphrey household is going great now.
Well, that is awesome, and we're going to ask you one question about that son that's here, but this morning is about Bobby Humphrey. I don't know what it would be like, and so I want you to share with our listeners, how did you find out about this? In terms of the ballot, how that process worked, and when you heard that you were being considered, what did that mean to you?
Well, you know, this is not the first time I've been on the ballot. So I think I was on the ballot, I think maybe about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
So it was a little bit of not that much of a surprise this particular time coming around. Like it was the first time, but it was a very, very exciting feeling to know that you would be considered one of the greatest players in college football history. You know, that's always a feel good, especially at your latter years when you can appreciate something like that a little more. I tell people all the time, it's a little different when you're in the picture. You can't seem to treasure the picture as much as when you take yourself out of the picture and look back at the picture to see how beautiful it is. But you know it's just one of those things where you appreciate a lot more, and you understand what the things you accomplish when you look back over them. You don't ever think about the things you accomplish while you're actually in the game itself, but it's quite an honor just to even be considered to be on the ballot. And there are a lot of deserving people that are on that ballot that also had great careers, and just to be listed among them, man, makes you feel really, really good. Makes you think you done something when you was in college.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, you know, for the listeners who may not have heard kind of, your story, you grew up in the shadow of Legion Field and walked those stadium steps many times, selling drinks, to go from having to sneak out to play football to today – potentially being on the brink of being enshrined. What lessons can you share with our listeners that may have kids or maybe going through a tough time now that they don't think that their dreams can happen? What lessons can you learn, share with them about your journey that would help them?
Well, I think two words. Really one word, and that's determination of trying to reach your dreams. And make them come true. Working at Legion Field and one day wishing to play there, without even at the time playing, any type of organized football, because I wasn't able to play because my mother wouldn't allow me to play. Now I don't want you to listen to all this to think that I'm telling them to disobey their parents or disobey authority figure to get to their dream. But I want them to continue to, regardless of what obstacles you have in front of you, if you have something that you're dreaming and you want, and you're going to put every effort and all your energy and time in trying to achieve that, to never give up on it. You know, I practiced 2 weeks of football, joined the football team. I was 2 weeks on the team before my mom even knew it. The only way I got called is I went out and played in a ball game, and we didn't finish till about 9 o'clock that night, so I was dead. Caught in the water, and I had to be home before dark every evening, and obviously I didn't make that curfew.
Yeah.
So I got caught, but But the thing that it showed my mom was that, you know, I just didn't like the game of football. I loved it.
Right.
And she finally caught the vision and the dream that I had and knew how much love that I had for it. And she allowed me to play from that day forward, from that night forward. So, you know, young kids are, you know, if not even just for young individuals, even adults, if there's something that you still are pushing for, you're working on, it's been a long time, because now you got to realize, Martin, I don't know if I told you this, you know, I had been asking my mom to play football 3 years prior.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would ask her every year, you know, hey, Mom, could I play football this year? You know, and the answer was no. So I ended up joining the band and being in the band and playing in the band, which that's what she wanted me to do. But, you know, so, you know, it may take a little time to get to where you're going, but never stop and hold up and give up on it. Continue to work hard and continue to have vision, continue to work towards that vision and that goal. And you never know, someday you get the break. And I got a big break. I mean, obviously, I got caught, and I didn't even get spanking for it. So that was pretty cool.
Well, speaking with Bobby Humphrey, Alabama great, Crimson Tide legend, rushed for over 3,420 yards during his career here. At the time, was a school record, caught 60 passes for 523 yards, scored 40 touchdowns, and has now found out that he's back on the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame for 2014. Bobby, what happens next in this process in terms of finding out the voting and different things like that?
Well, I would assume, just like last time, you know, they don't actually give you an update, you know, a step-by-step update.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what would happen is that you would go through the selection committee process, and they receive ballots, and then they'll do voting, and then once they get the number of candidates that will be inducted this year, then that's when they'll kind of let us know, so we can start making plans and preparation to be at the ceremony. But it's just a waiting process, you know, and I'm very patient. I'm honored and patient. And I do understand that, you know, that in this process, is, you know, it takes a while. It may not happen this year. It may happen down the road. It may happen this year. I don't know. But like I said earlier, you know, when you think about the players that played and that were successful and did a variety of things for their particular school and colleges, you know, around the country, you're talking about an elite group. There are a lot of guys that are out there that are very, very deserving to be in it. So, you know, I always go into these things, you know, wearing it with a loose garment. I don't get too much emotionally involved in it because I do know the process, and I do know that it takes time. So, you know, I just hope, you know, when it does happen, that I'm around to be able to experience it. And that's the only thing I'm hoping. You know, I feel very saddened for families who, some of their family members who did get inducted into it, and they weren't no longer here to be able to witness it. So, you know, and there are a lot of guys that's on that list, and a lot of guys that are still out there that are maybe a little bit older than I am, and their time may be coming a little short. But, you know, those are the guys you like to see, you know, get in there, you know, even if you have to wait a year or two.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't want to go in this year.
if there's a voter listening right now, vote Bobby in. He's not saying that he's willing to wait. He's willing, but he wants in, and he would be honored. Hey, Bobby, let me. You just hit a couple things there. First of all, I'm not gonna say this question, but who's voting is one of my intriguing questions. But I want to get your thoughts on something you just mentioned. You said that many times there's players who were at the top of their game in their career. To me, that's why you deserve to be in, Bobby. When you left here, you left the greatest university ever at the top of the record books, okay? So to me, in the college game, at the moment you left, you were at the top of your game. Another guy who left the same way was Derek Thomas. left this game, when he left the college game, there was no one that had ever played the game at his position with his stats that could compare. He was the best in the business. And to me, that's what you look at, is when they were playing the game, were they the best in the business? Were they worthy of college football? Did they change college football? I promise you, Derek Thomas coming off the corner changed college football, because they went from these big, bulky tackles to people who could backpedal. So what are your thoughts on Derek Thomas being a fourth time in a row, not being in?
I think Derek should have been in a long time ago. There's no doubt in my mind that Derek Thomas changed college football when he was at the University of Alabama.
Absolutely.
He did some unbelievable things. So, no, I do not know what factors in terms of the voting process, but whatever they are, Derek Thomas should have been in the Hall of the Alabama Hall. I mean, the College Football Hall of Fame the first time he hit the ballot. So that's kind of one of those things when you use that term. That was a no brainer.
Yeah.
Now, me on the other hand, you know, I was at the top of my game, but what Derek did, you know, I was just a running back, and you know, I ran the ball, caught the ball, and I did well. But Derek Thomas was one of those guys that, man, they started, you can remember our junior and senior year, how they started moving Derek Thomas around. Derek Thomas probably could have played cornerback.
Yes. Yep. And he became, that's what I mean, he changed the college game. And there's guys today, the Clowneys and, the Ely kid from Missouri, and some of these guys, and even C.J. Mosley and the recent Alabama, that the guy put his hand on the ground, then he stands up, and then he's in the middle of the field. And Derek Thomas was one of the first ones to ever do that, and it totally changed not just the way defense was played, it changed the way they recruited offensive linemen. All of a sudden, those big bruising tackles had to change, and that's, he had 27 sacks his last year. And they didn't pass the ball probably, 40% of the time, maybe 50% of the time, that he was there. But he was sacking guys virtually every time they went back to pass the ball in game. So hopefully he's going to get in. Bobby, congratulations, first and foremost, on being on the ballot, because what an honor that is. Hopefully that all goes well for you. Want to ask you, since we hadn't had a chance to catch up, Marlon finally got – that decision over with, and now he's ready to come down. What is Marlon doing right now to prepare to be? He's probably chomping at the bits to get here, but what is he doing to keep himself ready and in shape to get down here?
Well, Marlon has already started back working out with the Hoover football team, and for the past 2.5 weeks, he's been getting up and working out with the team at 6:30 in the morning. And going to track practice, doing his weight training in the morning, going to school, and then he's doing his track training, in the afternoon. And he's preparing now to go up to New York next week to participate in the New Balance National Indoor Meet that is held there at the Armory in New York City. That'll be next Saturday and Sunday. And then he'll be looking forward, man, to having a good track season and finishing off a high school career. But, man, I can tell you, man, he cannot wait to get on campus. And so he's kind of befriended Tony Brown a little bit, so they talk off and on. So I think Tony Brown being there and already being, a participant and doing very, very well in the hurdles, which is also Marlon's event, has kind of sparked an interest for Marlon to hurry up and get on down there. So He is excited by the decision. I think it's take a lot of weight off of him. And the process was great. I thought he handled it very, very well. But I think he's ready to he's super duper ready to start his college career.
Well, we had an opportunity to catch up with his other coach here at the university, Coach Dan Waters of the track. And I can tell you, he's excited about getting Marlon on campus as well. What was that process like, Bobby, working with both Coach Saban and Coach Water to make this whole thing work together?
They're very strategic. and the reason why I say that is, You know, there are still restrictions during the recruiting process that they have because the track team is recruiting them and also the football team. It doesn't give them any more visitation, phone calls, or any other privileges because he's being recruited by two different sports. They still had a limitation because he's being recruited football. So Coach Waters and Coach Saban had to communicate quite a bit to know, you know, when they were going to call, when they were going to visit, because that counts as a football visit.
Wow. I didn't.
So people get that, some people may be confused on that, might thinking, you know, you can get double visits. And also, too, because you're being recruited in two different sports, you still get your five visitations. Okay. You don't get an extra one because you're going to go visit the track coach this weekend, so you get six visits. No, it don't work that way. You still get five visits, and they have to be a combination with the track and football. So it was strategic. They did a very good job. So Coach Waters was able to get his time in, and so did Coach Saban and his staff. And Kirby Smart, the guys that recruited him, was able to get their time in. So it was a lot I learned during the recruiting process when you're talking about recruiting a two-sport athlete.
Well, Bobby, first of all, congratulations to you on your life and on your accomplishments. I've known you, you know, since we were here together, and I've seen you be victorious over the ups and downs that life can bring. And then congratulations on the job you've done in raising your kids and family and allowing them to soar and be who they were called to be. We wish you the best as it comes up on this College Football Hall of Fame. I'm hoping you get in this year. If not, you're definitely worthy of the nomination and worthy of being a College Football Hall of Famer. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Martin, man. You have a blessed weekend, man, and keep me in your prayer.
I will do so.